time to jump back down?
Okay, I got one more.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Hallelujah. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash a foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has loved me, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Take cover. No matter what the coming days hold, do you know that the Lord is holding you? Psalm 91 is full of precious promises for the people of God. It contains potent word pictures about the perseverance and the preservation of God's people. The whole psalm is composed that we may offer to God what we know is pleasing to Him. As we meditate on this psalm, we ought to think more of how it expresses, how we should express ourselves in God's presence. We ought to seek how this poetry expresses the person and work of our Lord Jesus. This psalm has an enhanced intensity. Before I give you the application of this psalm, I want to show you the structure. But without the structure, I don't think you'll see the force of the application. Psalm 91 is the second psalm in the fourth book. The book of Psalms has five books. And this is said in the fourth book. This means that many other psalms have already been recognized as divinely inspired and worthy of remembering and recording. And now in the fourth book comes this psalm. It follows the first psalm of this book a psalm of Moses. But this psalm, Psalm 91, has no author attributed to it that we know of. Someone wrote this psalm. And those who gather together the poetry that was found to be accurate and inspired and profitable for God's people throughout the ages recognize that this psalm must be included in the collection. There's other poetry that you can find in other portions of Scripture that are not in the Psalter. There are other psalms that we assume had been composed but were not regarded as worthy. So there's something significant about an anonymous psalm that puts it before us. The original hearers of that psalm approved of it, understood it to be divinely inspired, and set it here. And more than that, this psalm has a distinctive movement in who is speaking. In verses 1 and 2, the speaker refers to himself as I. In verses 3 through 13, the speaker talks about you. And in the last verses, verses 14 through 16, the speaker talks about I. We have at least two speakers. Do we have three speakers? Who is speaking? Well, the psalmist who wrote this is the one who would be the one speaking in general. But as he wrote under the inspiration of the word of the Spirit of God, and so put down phrases and parallels and word pictures that are most accurately described of certain people. If you look at the first two verses that speak of I, ask yourself, who dwells in the secret place of God all eternity? What's the secret place? The secret place of the Most High would be something like what Moses was commanded to make in the tabernacle, the most holy place. Hallelujah. The place where God's intense presence is known. The one who is speaking here speaks of being in the very presence of God throughout all eternity. He who dwells in the place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Who can say that? I can't say that. You can't say that. But Jesus says that.
Hallelujah.
Jesus can claim and can comment on his life by saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High must abide, does abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He is the one who is there in the secret place of God. He is the one who can call upon the Lord. He can say, it is, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him I will trust. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus. And then the voice shifts. The longest portion, the middle portion of this, gives a lot of counsel to us. This is what you should do. This is what you should not be afraid of. This is what should encourage you. Surely he shall deliver you from the fowler, the sneaky guy who sets up a trap for birds, or more disastrously, the perilous pestilence. More than that, he shall cover you with his feathers. We're talking about the first person who spoke. Now, this is going to happen to you. You are going to be protected. You're going to be covered. It's going to be as if God was a hen who spread out her wings over her chicks and covered them. The spreading of the wings is a temporary shelter, but it's warm, it's comfortable. It protects you from the vultures overhead that might try to swoop down upon you. Under his wings you shall take refuge. He will be your shield and buckler, your permanent fixed static defense, and your movable buckler that will knock down any attack upon you. You shall not be afraid by night or by day. the peril that comes unexpectedly, or the thief that, or the destruction that waits at noonday. In fact, 1,000 may fall at your side. No, make it 10,000. But it shall not come near you.
Amen.
Only you shall see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. These are the words of the Holy Spirit directed to the Son of God. These are the words by which Jesus in his earthly ministry would have remembered there is nothing that's going to stop the Father's will to bring to pass the glorious salvation of my people. There will be no arrow by day. There will be no pestilence by night. There will be many who fall by the wayside, but nothing shall attack me until my mission is complete. No evil shall befall you. Satan understood that this applied to Jesus. He shall give his angels charge over you, the second of the temptations that was offered to Jesus, trying to entice him to elevate himself. This does speak about Jesus. It is the Spirit's declaration, the Spirit's counsel to him. There shall no evil befall you. The angels shall hold you in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. In fact, the glorious thing is that you shall smash the lion and the dragon. Who's the lion? That great devil. Who's the dragon? The one who entered into the Garden of Eden and who tempted us. The two images of the lion and the dragon both speak of Satan's fall and destruction. And that's what the Holy Spirit is encouraging the Lord Jesus will happen to him. And then verse 14, the voice changes again. Now we have an authoritative word, because this one that we spoke of has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Now the third speaker gives the commanding assurance that all the promises preceding this declaration shall come to pass. He shall call upon me, I will answer him, I will deliver him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. Who can say that? God the Father can say that of his Son. In Psalm 91, we have a marvelous example of a Trinitarian communication. Now, before you think, well, that doesn't apply to me, God sets this before you so that you can see how it applies to you. It is because Jesus can say, I dwell in the shadow of the Most High. I dwell in the secret place. That if you are united to Christ, what is absolutely true of him shall also be really true of you.
Hallelujah.
Now, all of the things that the Holy Spirit counseled would not happen to Jesus specifically might happen to you, with the exception that nothing shall take your life until the Father so orders it. And all of this is done by the Father's great command. So there is a wonderful way in which to understand something of how we are united to Christ. And what Christ has done in his human nature is what you can also know true in your own nature. So let me give you some of the application of this, how this now applies to you as you've heard it from the Holy Trinity. The three major parts, and in each part speaks of promises. In verses 1 and 2, there's a commitment to the promises. First of all, it's the Son of God's commitment, and it's your call to be committed to the promises. In the second section, verses 3 through 13, the Holy Spirit speaks about being covered by the promises, and this is your place to see how God has also promised you that he will cover you with his promises, protection, and provision for your life. And in the third section, as we hear the Father speak of his Son, we are confident that the promises given to the Son and explained by the Holy Spirit will come to pass for you as you are united to Christ. So the gracious wonder of God's triune work is unfolded. I don't know that the writer knew the depths of what he was writing, but the Spirit of God did. And this was written not only for Jesus. It's here for you. This is for you to understand and for you to grasp what God's purpose is in your life. So let's make this application. The Bible says that when you seek, that you must trust the Lord and that He is a shelter. Under His wings you will find rest as a young bird does. If you live far from the Lord, it can be crazy and cold, but if you live under His wings, you can be safe and warm no matter what happens. Why face the future shivering in icy winds and lonely fear? That's no way to live. Why not take refuge under the wings? Amen. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. What a wealth of word pictures about God. When it seems that there is no way to get away from hassles and worries, the Lord is a shelter, a secret place of safety, a stillness. When troubles heat up and you feel like you're being scorched in the desert, and the sun is beating on you, the Lord is a shadow, a cooling shade of relief and refreshment. When you feel hounded and surrounded by enemies and by illness, the Lord is a fortress, a mighty tower of protection. When you feel weak and wounded, the Lord is a feathery soft place. When you feel alone and cold, the Lord is a wing drawing over you that you might have a sense of warmth. Though He can be so wonderfully tender and comfortable and warm, He remains hard, strong, a shield against every arrow and dart and spear. What a God! Shelter and shadow, fortress and feather, wing and shield. God has all these things for you and much more. God's protection isn't just against great truth. It's not just doctrines that is being set forth. These are precious personal promises for you to experience. Yes. The writer of Psalm 91 doesn't just talk about God's protection as an objective, distant doctrine that he's picked up somewhere. He speaks from personal faith and experience, as any pastor or teacher should. Mm-hmm. He says, I will trust in the Lord. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. You may say that occasionally. Jesus said that perpetually. And in His faithfulness, you build your faith in Him. Objective doctrine out there can be good. It can be very wonderful, or we might impress others with it, but you have to taste it yourself. As John Calvin wrote, we cannot communicate true knowledge unless we deliver it not merely with our lips, but as something with which God has revealed to our own hearts. Hallelujah. Do you know this in your heart? Is this part of your experience, a part of your life? Why do I speak of living under God's wing? Not because I'm called to preach, but because God is my life. I'm not talking about a God who exists somewhere out in the blue. I'm talking about a God who has loved me personally. About a Savior, Jesus Christ, who was nailed to the cross for me personally. About the Holy Spirit, who guards and guides me personally. And nothing can destroy me or separate me from God's love in Christ. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. What Jesus can say fully, I take also on my lips. These two opening verses are spoken in the first person, I. The truth of this situation is stated and confirmed by a divine name. The person who comments on this secret location of safety and stillness, the secret place, the work of the Most is part of the work of the Most High. Abiding under the shadow is the shadow of the Almighty. Taking refuge in the stronghold and the fortress is the blessings from the Lord. The place of comfort and tenderness is from my God. Four major titles that God has revealed are set forth in this passage. Whoever the human author is that grasps these promises, the only person who can know these in its fullness and is committed to God's promises is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Listen to the commentator who is committed to the promises. Are you committed to the promises? Now apply the second section, covered by the promises, as we've heard the voice of the Counselor of the Holy Spirit. He is not just mine, he is yours too. Surely he will deliver you, says the psalmist. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you shall take. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Yes. The Spirit of God can speak first of all to the Son of God, and now he is speaking to you. Amen. He is for you. If you would make a list of things that scare you and worry you, that list might be pretty long. But God knows that list even before you make it. God knows what scares you and me. The writer of Psalm 91 comes up with quite a list of scary things. And then he says, you don't have to be afraid. Already in verse 2, he speaks of the snare of the fowler, the hidden traps set by those who are out to get you. He speaks of deadly pestilence, dreadful diseases that strike any person down and might strike fear to anyone. He says God will surely save you from such things if you take refuge in him. We are fearful and slow to believe, so Psalm 91 gives us more detailed description of the dangers. And to say, although you may have to face these dangers, you do not have to fear them. Not if you're under God's wing, not if you have taken cover. Verses 5 through 8. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence and darkness, the destruction that lays waste in the day. 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked. Sometimes your deepest fear may be the terror of night. When you are a child, you may be terrified of the dark. But even if you are an adult, you may feel uneasy when you're alone in the dark. You hear things and imagine things that frighten you. Then again, you may have outgrown your fear of the darkness, but you may be more afraid of another kind of darkness, the unknown. Maybe you're terrified that you can't see exactly what's going to happen next or how things are going to turn out. Maybe it's a definite danger that is shooting right at you, what Psalm 91 calls the arrow that flies by day. You know you're under attack. There have been burglaries in your neighborhood, or your boss is going to fire you, or your spouse is going to leave you, or somebody is going to sue you. The arrow is sharp and swift and is coming to you in broad daylight. So whether it's day or night, whether you face open arrows or hidden dangers, you don't have to be afraid if you've taken cover under his wing. God won't let anything destroy the person who trusts in him.
Amen.
But what if you're facing a terrible disease? Once again, God is enough. The pestilence that walks in darkness may invade your body. A disease like cancer can sneak up on you. You may not see it coming. And there is no clear explanation why it suddenly grows in your body. Then again, you may face plagues and problems that spread openly, as if in the brightness of noonday. But whatever the illness or plague, And whichever way it approaches, there is safety when you take cover under God's wing.
Amen.
You will be a nervous wreck if you don't believe in God's good plan and his constant protection amid all dangers. You don't really know all the dangers and all the close calls you already have escaped in life. It's not a matter of luck. Could a bit of bad luck end your life at any moment? No. God is in charge. Not a hair can fall from your head. Not a hair can be singed or burned apart from the will of God. God may plan to test your faith and threaten our life, but everything he plans is meant to show his children just how great a refuge he is.
Amen.
Without dangers, you will soon forget that our safety depends on God. Without enemies and challenges, there would be no victories. God's wing shelters his people from dangers of every kind, says Psalm 91. And that includes not only dangers, that includes the dangers of God's own wrath against your sin. That's the biggest reason you need to be close to God. Not just safe from this or that danger, but so that you can be safe from the Lord himself and from his anger against your sin. Jesus said in Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and afterwards have no more that they can do. I will show you whom you shall fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast you into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." Only God has power to cast you into hell. And only when you take refuge in the shelter of his wings and under the shadow of Jesus' cross can you have safety and warmth and comfort. Trust in Jesus' death to pay for your sins and to make you right with God. Believe his eternal promise of eternal life. Then you can be sure of eternal life, even if people around you are perishing. In the words of verses 8 and 9, 10,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you receive the reward of the wicked. If you are God's child, protected under his wings of pardon, you may see God's wrath against the wicked, but you will not have to endure it yourself. Jesus said that the only fear worth having is a fear of God. And a fear of the eternal destiny of your soul. That's one reason we shouldn't fear anything that might destroy only our bodies. Right after that, Jesus gave another reason why we should not worry about our physical safety. Nothing can happen to us apart from God's will. Anybody or anything might try to harm us, but they can't do it without God's permission and plan. Jesus said in Luke 12, verses 6 and 7, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." This means that whatever any type of harm comes our way, God will either shield us from it, or if he does allow it to strike us, he will turn it to our profit.
Amen.
Sometimes, even when we belong to God, we find it hard to rest in the assurance of his care. So God keeps piling on promises to overcome our doubts. God tells us not only of his wing of protection, but also of his winged workers, the angels. Look at verses 9 through 16. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, who either shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot." What a comfort. God himself watches over us. He gives his mighty angels clear, definite orders to guard us and to help us along in everything we do in all of our ways. Sometimes it seems as if the angels have to work overtime in all of those near misses. Perhaps you've had that experience too, in which it seems that an angel must have been working overtime. Even when we don't have close calls, even when we don't see any immediate threats, and everything seems calm and natural, we could never survive on our own. Only because God cares for us and because his angels carry us can we move ahead in safety. At the deepest level, this isn't just a matter of physical safety. As Jesus said, it is not the body but the soul that matters most. When you're under God's wing and being carried on angels' wings, the Lord doesn't just protect your body from snakes and lions. He protects your spirit from that old serpent, Satan. He protects you from the devil, who roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All the dangers you face, none is more formidable than Satan and the demonic forces of evil. And yet, God shields you from these dangers too. It's great to know that the Lord protects your body for as long as he wants you to live on earth, but it's even greater to know that God protects your soul from Satan and gives you power and authority to trample on demons.
Amen.
These central verses were spoken in the second person singular, you. The voice of the counselor describes the versatile protection through an imagery of birds and fortresses in verses 3 through 6. Next, he speaks of the individual protection in verses 7 and 8. Then he expresses miraculous protection in verses 9 through 13. The only person who could do these things fully and is able to apply God's promises is the Spirit of God. Listen to the voice of the counselor. Are you covered by the promises? Last verses of this psalm speak of being confident in the promises, the voice of the commander of the Father. Psalm 91 comes to a grand and glorious conclusion as God himself speaks and declares his promises in verses 14 through 16. What marvelous promises! How can you know that God's protection and comfort are yours? By trusting and loving him. God says, because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. What does it mean to love God? It means to have a sweet confidence and delight in his goodness. When you love and trust God and acknowledge his name, honoring the name of Jesus above every name, God guarantees that he will rescue and protect you. God also says that when you belong to him, you will call upon him or pray to him in faith. Living in faith involves continual conversation and communion with God. When you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, it means that the Most High also dwells in you. His Holy Spirit lives in you and keeps you in the secret place under God's wing, a place of prayer. There you can enjoy God's warmth and love and protection and talk with him and claim his promises. In that place of prayer, you look at the past work of Jesus in his death and resurrection as the basis for forgiveness and blessing. You also look to the future with confidence in the living Christ and with trust in all of God's promises. If you know Jesus, you won't go through these days hoping your luck will hold up. You'll pray confidently to the one who has bought you with his blood and who promises to protect you and answer your prayers. What is more, God says, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God promises not only to rescue you, but to honor you. He promises to give you his own personal stamp of approval, which means far more than the honor the world can offer. Even more, God promises to share in the honor of Jesus himself as you reign with him forever and ever. What honor could be greater? What could be more satisfying? The Bible says that in God's presence you have fullness of joy, at his right hand are eternal pleasures. I will satisfy with long life, God says, and show him my salvation. Long life doesn't just mean 70, 80, or 100 years. It means eternal life. In some cases, God's protection doesn't mean a long life on earth, but it does mean life that goes on forever. Amen. Even when you die, you don't really die. Your lungs might stop breathing and your heart might stop beating, but you go right on living. Jesus said in John 1, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Amen. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
Amen.
In Jesus, you will not even see death. Amen. Jesus said in John 5, 51, most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. When you draw your last breath, that awful enemy death wants to rear up and seize you, but the angels of God swoop in ahead and carry you to glory. You never actually see the awful face of death. As your heart stops, you see only the splendid angels of God and the loving face of your Savior. What a magnificent promise. These concluding verses, 14 through 16, are spoken in the first person, I. Most appropriate to hear the voice of the commander, God the Father, as he addresses God the Son and all who belong to the Son and all who call upon him and who are delivered by him. Listen to the voice of the commander. Are you confident in the promises? God's plan may include tests of your faith and threats to your life, but everything he plans is meant to show his children just how great a refuge he is. Without the dangers, we'd soon forget that our safety depends upon God. Without enemies and challenges, there would be no victories. Though you may have to face these dangers, you don't have to fear them.
Amen.
Not if you're under God's wings where you take cover.
Amen.
God gives his mighty angels clear and definite orders to guard us and to help us in everything we do in all of our days. Sometimes the angels may have to work diligently. But even when we don't have close calls, even when we don't see any immediate threats and everything seems to be calm and normal, we could not survive on our own. Only because God cares and his angels carry us can we move steadily ahead. Living in faith involves continual conversation and communion with God. When you dwell in the shelter of the Most High, it means the Most High also dwells in you. His Holy Spirit lives in you and keeps you in the secret place where you take cover. No matter what the coming days hold, do you know the Lord who is holding you? Take cover. Lord our God, as we meditate upon this psalm, the richness of it is thrilling to us. What we can see from the New Testament, we cannot anticipate that Old Testament saints would have seen. But as we think of hearing voices, the voices that are articulated in this psalm, the majesty of our Savior's voice comes forward as he dwells in the secret place of the Most High from all eternity. And as he leads us forth by saying that you are my refuge, my fortress, my trust, my God in whom I trust. We take comfort from the counsel of the Holy Spirit as he leads us through so many perplexing and dangerous issues. And then we hear the voice of the Father commending the Son. and with him all who belong to Jesus Christ. But those who trust in him shall live forever. Grant that in these days of the pandemic, these days of controversy, these days that are unsettled in our lives, that we might trust in the promises here set forth so clearly in the Scriptures, and that our confidence might be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant your blessing unto us, that we might hear the voice of the Father. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with your wisdom. Give to us faith in Jesus. We ask in his name. Amen.